from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Daylight time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. It's your sports bros, Rop and Suk. I'm Rop. Suk's right over there.
Hello.
Boy, that was dramatic.
Well, I was missing the on button. I was one of those where I started talking and I was like, wait, the button's not on.
I was beginning to wonder if you really were right over there.
He was a beta theta. You don't know where I'm at. Maybe I'm out there doing beta theta things. I don't know.
He was a beta.
He was a beta theta.
I do knew that.
Yeah, that's the big fraternity at BYU.
It's on your page now.
We don't have fraternities at the Y. He was a beta theta.
Why not?
Because it's a Mormon school. I don't think frat culture would really work. The beta thetas would not.
There are Jewish fraternities.
Again, have you been to BYU?
It could be a social club. You don't have to just drink.
Yeah. He's right about that.
Everything.
I think you're being a jerk about fraternities. Right,
really?
Now. Yeah.
Fraternities are a good thing?
I mean, they could be. Mine wasn't.
I like that you're like, it could be.
Mine wasn't, but
I can assure you that nothing could be worse than a fraternity at Brigham Young University. We have a lot of things down there that suck, and I'm telling you that if you put a frat in Provo, that would be the dumbest thing in Provo, and that's saying something.
I do see Suk as being one of the football players who'd want to fight a frat kid.
I just would avoid it. When I went on my recruiting trip to UW, that was the there was the guys that were taking us around, we went to a frat party and they wouldn't let the football players in. And one of them threw someone through a window. It was bad.
Yeah. That kind of stuff happens.
That was like, oh, I should leave. Like, I was like, are we like, this can't be good. Like cops arrest, whatever. And they were like, yeah, that was not, I think there was some tension there between the frat boys and the football players.
All right. Coming up this hour, we have coach versus quarterback, Eagles edition. That's a big story today.
Yeah.
Perhaps some Pac-2 buzz. The latest on that. Coming up in the club, a bizarre travel trend we must discuss. And something we didn't get to yesterday, we're back with studyfinds.org. We're back in the good graces of our friends at studyfinds.org.
Love my studies.
And we have a new study that perhaps explains everything about everything.
Nice.
Pac-2! So that is coming up on our show right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Suk. Brought to you on The Fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com.
number five.
Plenty of afternoon hardball. The Astros won in Texas 6-4, so the AL West is tied again. A couple of doubleheaders. Yankees 5-2 over the Angels in the first game, but the Halos all over them in the second inning. It's 6-0 LA in the second game.
Something tells me that West is going to be like that all the way down to the end. I don't think either one of those teams is pulling away.
You're talking about the AL West?
The AL West. Yeah, and that's just going to be one of those that's coming down to the final days.
We've got... I mean,
both teams just have fatal flaws.
Diamondbacks, Guardians, doubleheader. Arizona winning the first game in Cleveland 5-3. Oh, they won the second game.
Swept it.
Yeah, actually, they won the first game 7-3, and they just closed out the second game 5-3. Look at the D-bags. Yeah,
coming on. Series too.
Yeah, they're.
Well, I think they're in the lead in the wild card. I think they're the number one wild card right now in the NL.
The A's beat the White Sox 3-2, so Chicago has now lost one in a row. And the Cubs over the Twins 8-2.
They have a 14 and a 21 game losing streak.
Number
this four. Year.
Lost 22 of their last 23.
Any guesses to where this one's going to go? I bet you they get another 14 in there. I don't know if it gets to 21, but...
I think at least 9.
Yeah, they'll lose double digits again.
The Cleveland Browns have unveiled plans for a new $2.4 billion domed stadium outside the city in a place called Brook Park, which is over by the airport.
It's weird to think of Cleveland playing in a dome.
I know. I don't like that.
I think it might be due, again, concerts and everything. It's just, you know...
Yeah, they're talking about Super Bowl, Final Four. Yep. They want all the big events.
Yeah.
The city, though, has offered to split a $1.1 billion renovation project on the current stadium downtown. The lease expires in 2028. And the Steelers are still alive in the Brandon Ayuk sweepstakes. The sides, according to Ryan Buckley, who is a Niners insider, the sides close to a deal. The wide receiver would be headed to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, well, I mean, it sounds like some of the other places, like, he's basically has a no-trade clause. You know, like, New England was the deal that was going to get done, and he's like, I don't want to go play in New England.
Yeah, so he has to approve the team and get a good enough deal that he wants to go.
Yeah, because no team is going to give up any real capital until he agrees to an extension, basically a sign and trade. So he holds a lot of cards here, and it sounds like San Francisco doesn't want to let this drag on. So, you know, maybe Pittsburgh's a good landing spot for him.
USA Women's Basketball has won every gold medal at the Olympics since 1996. Today, they won their 59th consecutive game. They beat Nigeria 88-74.
And it wasn't even that close. I mean, they bludgeoned them.
Gunning for their eighth straight gold, they move on to the semifinals. They will meet Australia Friday at noon.
Suck it, Aussies.
Yeah, suck it.
Is that it?
Although, to be fair, I don't really have anything against the Australians. They seem like wonderful people. Just, you know, hey.
Yeah,
USA,
they're hard to hate.
They are. I can't hate the Aussies. I can't hate the New Zealanders. I find, like, the Canadians, the Kiwis, and the Australians, I find them all very likable.
Very pleasant people.
Yeah, they're pleasant people. I got nothing against them. I can hate lots of people, but not those guys.
Number two.
They gave us Crocodile Dundee, for God's sakes.
Number two.
Season-ending injury to number 7 Notre Dame's left tackle earlier this week. Now, number 4 Texas has lost a bro for the season. Running back C.J. Baxter.
Yeah, they were counting on him. They thought he was going to be kind of the next great Texas back. And, you know,
started 6 games for him last year.
Yep, and the left tackle that went down, he was the first freshman to start Notre Dame on the O-line since Joe Alt and was replacing Joe Alt. So two guys that they were counting on. Places like Notre Dame and Texas, obviously they're going to have some depth, but these are just one of those things to kind of keep an eye on because, you know, when you're you know, it's not that easy to replace marquee players. And, you know, football is a war of attrition at every level.
Yeah, Baxter was going to be the starter. He tore his knee up,
yeah,
apparently. Yeah. Jonathan Brooks, of course. Who drafted him?
I don't remember where he went.
He's on in the NFL.
Yeah, he's moved on.
So.
Yeah. Panthers. What is the freaking
right.
Panthers?
Sorry about that.
Carolina.
Feel bad for him. Hey, Mayor Carolina will be a surprise to you.
I do know that.
I do.
Number one.
Number one.
By the way, they are not my surprise team. They sucked, and I think they would continue to suck.
The NCAA has handed down a 1-year suspension and 4-year show cause to former Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, who, by the way, just continues to be a jackass. Jim Harbaugh is a hell of a coach, but, like, he's still fighting this. And saying that he did nothing wrong, he refuses to apologize. they have him dead to rights.
It's very Trumpian. Just like, no, yeah, not true, fake news.
Like, he's claiming, so this goes back to the, this is like the Herm Edwards stuff.
Yeah, this is not about the Connor Stallions.
No, this is different. So this goes back to when the when there was the whole COVID thing. Remember COVID?
Yeah.
You loved COVID.
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to recruit. Everything was shut down. Well, Herm Edwards didn't care. He was still inviting people onto campus and was taking photographs with them and then was like, I didn't do it. They're like, Herm, we've got photographs of you and the players. Well, I guess they've got receipts and expense reports of Jim Harbaugh. And they're like, Jim, everyone says you were there. You expensed it. And Jim Harbaugh is like, nope, wasn't me.
Two recruits were there with parents, and the recruits are like, yeah, I remember him there. I specifically remember Jim there because he ordered a cheeseburger for breakfast, and the receipts show a cheeseburger for breakfast. He was there.
Yeah, and Jim Harbaugh was like, no, wasn't me.
And he even went as far as to say, I would think I would remember that.
He's just, it's unbelievable. And by the way,
it doesn't
matter now. Like, he's not going back to college. But I like, Jim Harbaugh's agent said that this was the equivalent of your high school, like trying to punish you after you've moved on to college.
They like to drink their Haterade and eat their hater tots.
Look, Jim, you can't come out. In his statement yesterday, he's like, I don't lie, I don't cheat, and I'm not apologizing for something I didn't do. You did do it, Jim. We know you did it. It's not that big of a deal, but you lied about something when they clearly have you.
He doesn't care about the NCAA.
No.
They maintain intentional disregard for legislation by Harbaugh and unethical conduct. So this covers 2024 to 2028. Very little likelihood it comes into play as Harbaugh is, of course, moved on to the NFL.
Do you want the statement from the attorney? It's really hilarious. He says,
can you maybe next?
Yeah, we'll do it next.
Are you talking about Harbaugh's attorney?
Yeah.
Why does he have an attorney on this?
He's got an attorney because he's been fighting this
some sort of representation.
Is he going to fight the show cause?
No.
That won't even matter to him?
No, he's not.
Then why do you have an attorney?
Well, it's just, I'm sure he just has an attorney that anytime these things, he's been fighting, you know, contract and suspensions for a long time.
Bobby Witt, home run.
Bobby Witt.
Bobby.
I do like Bobby Witt.
Victorico's Mexican food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victorico's.com. It is 5:17, coach versus quarterback, Eagles edition, next on The Fan. Before we get to this Eagles story, how legendary would it be if Jim Harbaugh was just the one guy who stood up and said, yep, we cheated our ass off.
Be amazing.
Connor Stallions, illegal recruiting during COVID. F all of you, we won the title. I'm headed to the Chargers to cheat there too.
Happy to be coaching guys.
What a legend.
It fascinates me when people are caught red-handed and yet they're still like, no, didn't do it.
Well, he sort of has to.
I guess.
Doesn't he have to lie because he lied to the investigators originally?
Yeah, but he's already gone now, so.
Can't he just say, I'm not going to comment on any of that?
Yeah.
And not just go full denial?
And that's my Lance Armstrong thing. I don't care that you cheated, and I don't even care that you won't own up to it, whatever. But when you do this, you're just like so offended that someone is insinuating
that you
cheated when they have all the evidence in the world that you cheated. And that's, I call it the Lance Armstrong defense, because people knew what Lance Armstrong was doing. It was like, hey, we know this. And Lance would come out and try to ruin them. He would try to specifically ruin careers, ruin reputations. And then he came in afterwards. It was like, my bad. There's one thing I can at least say this about Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds always does you clean out your own closet before you come after me. And he just says, I'm not going to talk about that. I can at least respect that, because he's saying, yeah, you got me, but I'm not going to talk about it. As opposed to, you guys are all lying. None of this is true. I'm the only one telling the truth. All this evidence is BS. And that's the Jim Harbaugh thing. And that's what pisses me off.
Space Force.
I could care less of what you did. And if you don't want to own it, just don't talk about it. But don't come out here and try to tell me that I don't apologize for anything because I've done nothing wrong. Get bent.
Well, and his lawyer has as much pee and vinegar as he does.
Oh, yeah, his lawyer.
He actually goes on the offense. He says, the way I see it, from Coach Harbaugh's perspective, today's COI decision is like being in college and getting a letter from your high school saying you've been suspended because you didn't sign the yearbook. If I were in Coach Harbaugh's shoes and had an $80 million contract as a head coach of the Chargers, I wouldn't pay any attention to the findings of a kangaroo court which claims to represent the principles of the nation's most flagrant repeat violator of the federal antitrust laws.
Wow.
Right?
That's blowtorch stuff.
Yeah. Just went right after him.
He's not wrong.
Well, no, but at the same time,
but he's kind of deflecting a little
bit. Was rules.
Yeah.
You clearly broke them.
Very blatantly.
It got Herm Edwards fired. Like, this was actually kind of a big deal. they've got you dead to rights, and you're like, no, didn't do it. Not me. Jim Harbaugh sucks. That guy is a tool. He is. He's a hell of a coach, but that guy is a grade A tool bag.
They like to drink their haterade and eat their hater tots.
That's right. Keep eating your hater tots. He's got that ring.
Yeah, he does. And he's a hell of a coach. That guy wins wherever he goes.
Did we bury the lead here? He ordered a cheeseburger for breakfast.
Cheeseburger, bacon cheeseburger
and
for breakfast.
And that was the problem? Because this was during, so it was the COVID, no contact time.
This was just one of the ways that they got him, because they've got, like, people.
And he was with a kid.
Yeah.
And he was buying him lunch. Yeah. He said he didn't buy him lunch. He did. There are receipts that show that he did. Yeah. I mean, recruiting violations for COVID rules and other improprieties.
Yeah, so everyone's like, well, he bought a cheeseburger. It's not about the cheeseburger. The fact is, you weren't allowed to host kids.
You just blatantly ignored the rules.
During COVID.
Well,
football, everything shut down because of COVID. And there were a few coaches that were like, yeah.
Nah, not for me.
I'm going to keep doing it.
I'm going to get an edge.
Yeah.
It is about the cheeseburger, though, because he ordered it for breakfast.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Apparently Jim Harbaugh. Does that surprise you one bit? If you told me there was one college coach that was going to order a cheeseburger with fries for breakfast, it's Jim Harbaugh.
Incredibly on brand for him.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right. On to our next story.
And by the way, no one's stripping anyone of a national title. The NCAA basically said that they're not. Yeah.
Oh, the UW Dogman online forums are basically saying they should be national champs now.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I saw some screenshots on X today.
Yeah, they said that they're not trying to vacate championships.
Well, they can't do that. Even if they did, no one would take it seriously. No, we all know who won the title.
Exactly. And by the way, they won it fair and square. All that cheating stuff was exposed long before that. I'll give Michigan this. Dude, none of that stuff helped this last. You lined up and you punched every meaningful team that you played. Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon, Alabama and Washington. You played all of your big games after the scandal stuff all went away, and you physically beat everyone up. So, cheating bastards, sure. Douchebaggery, absolutely. Jackass coach, 100%. Biggest bully on the block that beat everyone up, 100%. You're the national champs.
Well, the guy that's going to take the brunt of it is this new coach.
Yeah.
Moore.
Yeah. Who I still think there's a chance he gets fired.
Yeah, he might lose his job over all this.
Yeah.
And Harbaugh is going to laugh.
I apologize. I just love the "I apologize" in his press conference. I apologize for nothing.
Lock cocked, ready to rock.
He is lock cocked and ready to rock. This is also the guy who admits that even his wife and family can't stand to be around him very much. He's just insufferable.
No way.
He's just insufferable.
All right, the Eagles have some infighting. Coach versus quarterback. That story coming out today. We'll tackle that. Coming up next, here's Buck.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, baby!
All right, Eagles drama, we knew that. Because they kind of melted down last year. Remember that playoff game against the Bucks?
Well, they were 10-1.
Yeah,
but weren't. It was weird because they were 10-1, and it was the worst 10-1 you've ever seen. And then they lost five of their last six. Really, were one of the worst teams in football at the end. And then the playoff game that was just. I mean, they just quit flat out. I mean, it was an unmitigated disaster. One of the great collapses I've seen in the 20 years we've been doing this.
So, big ESPN article on this. Came out today.
Yeah.
Nick Sirianni would not be quoted for it.
No, but he took, it sounds like he, at least behind the scenes, he took the fall.
Well, they're saying that, they're saying basically the root of that problem is there's a real lack of respect for Sirianni's X's and O's chops.
Yeah.
So Jalen Hurts, he wants more autonomy and he wants a more layered offense, but Sirianni last year kept it all the same because they were coming off the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that was obviously when they had a different coaching staff. They lost both coordinators who went on to be head coaches in Arizona and Indy. And it sounds like, and we talk about this all the time, man, sometimes the coordinator is a much bigger part of this than anyone wants to admit.
Well, it sounds like reading through this article that Sirianni didn't really trust the new coordinator.
Yep.
So Steichen left and the new guy, Johnson, came in and Sirianni was pretty much lording over him to the point where late in the year, a couple of players said, or it was an anonymous player said, they didn't really know which guy was calling plays because
yep.
Sirianni would kind of would neuter Johnson on the headset even. And so that's a huge problem. And they also said that Hurts, I mean, towards the end of the game or the end of the season, they lost in Seattle. And they said that during that game, Hurts would instruct, he was instructing skill guys to do things that weren't in the game plan.
Yep.
And so it got really ugly. A couple of the quotes were, there was, these are from anonymous people close to the Eagles. They said, one, quote, there was never a moment where they were operating in a healthy relationship, end quote. And another one was, quote, even when we're 10-1, everybody was walking around like their dog died, yeah. End quote.
Well, and that's what I said. It was a really bad 10-1. And everyone was like, man, can they keep this up? And the answer was no. I mean, you knew something was going on. And then I think towards the end of it, too, I think the defense just got tired of it. Because when you have that sort of dysfunction, I mean, it just bleeds through everything. So it sounds like, you know, at least Sirianni behind the scenes is ready to try to bridge that gap. And you can't, you just can't win like that in the NFL. Because Philly has a really, really good roster, you know, and continue to make improvements this year. I mean, if you're just saying top to bottom, best rosters in the NFL. I think Philadelphia has one of the three or four best rosters. The question is, which Jalen Hurts is it? The Jalen Hurts we saw that before he got the big contract and led his team to the Super Bowl, or the Jalen Hurts that we saw last year? Now, to be fair, he was nicked up, but Jalen Hurts was not an elite player last year. He just wasn't. But, man, again, sounds like obviously when you have those sorts of problems going on with your coach, I don't know how you're expected to really operate. But to go from six interceptions, basically the TDs were the same, but to go from six interceptions to 15, that's no good.
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of this part of it. But in there they talked about how Hurts, the Giants dominated him.
Mm-hmm.
And Hurts called Wink Martindale, the Giants, well, he's now gone.
He's now gone, but
at the time, he was the defensive coordinator. And Hurts called him to talk about how he game-planned against them.
Yeah.
Which
is weird.
Well, at one hand, you could say, well, that's not a huge deal. He's just trying to learn.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, Wink Martindale said, dude, I've been in this business for 40 years. I have never had an opposing coach call me and ask me what I'm doing to game-plan against his team. So it was clearly a shot at Sirianni, and, yeah, and he was trying to get fuel for, hey, here's how guys are beating your ass. Yeah. You suck, Sirianni.
I mean, that's a, I mean, honestly, that is a really, really, if I'm a Philadelphia guy, that is terrifying.
The Wink Martindale thing?
Yes. Yeah. That's
that he's calling other coaches.
I think that is
bad.
Problematic. When you can't figure it out, I mean, I remember when Monty Kiffin tried to make the move to college and he couldn't figure out college offenses and he was scrambling, calling defensive coordinators like, what do I do? I mean, it's one thing if you're, I mean, I guess it's one thing when you're just trying to learn, but I mean, my God, when you can't see the forest through the trees, that's problematic when you're the head coach. And by the way, you're the very cocky, brash head coach.
But like you said, it does sound like he does see the forest through the trees. He hired Kellen Moore, a new offensive coordinator, and at the end of this story, they do talk about how Sirianni is reportedly more hands-off in camp.
Yeah.
And that's really all it takes. I mean, look, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni do not have to be best buddies.
No.
Far from it. Sirianni just needs to let Hurts do his thing and let Moore do his thing with Hurts. And get out of the damn way.
I just know that when you're in there and you're saying that Jalen doesn't give Nick enough credit and he was trying to prove that he was worth $250 million on every throw, that ain't a recipe for success. So we'll see how this goes,
because
this should be a full reset.
I feel like, okay, so this is just my from afar assessment here.
Mm.
And it is totally from afar.
Yeah.
Sirianni's a young coach. He's a new coach. He is clearly self-aware. He learned. He made a mistake. And he learned from it, and he is trying to change that. So that's the one thing. You got to give him credit. The second is, I don't think Jalen Hurts is the bad guy here. I feel like Jalen Hurts is a really smart kid.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of his points had merit. I don't know how great he was at, you know, going about it. Like, that's not how I would have gone about it. I would have gone about it. But it's just, I can see the frustration, and I think that Hurts is a smart enough kid that I do think that if you just gave him a little more autonomy and let him do his thing on offense, you could be way better than you are, and he could be way better than he has been.
Yeah.
So I don't really fault, like, because some people will paint Hurts as this, you know, kind of me first quarterback. I don't think that's true. I think that guy poked holes in his head coach, and that's entirely fair.
Well, and I'll say this, Hurts had a sterling reputation everywhere he had been.
That's what I mean.
In college and then, you know, up to this. So, but that, the fact that, I don't know, I just can't get over the fact that going into the playoffs, your quarterback had no faith in you to understand what you were doing was wrong. And so he went to an outside coaching staff as opposed to going to his own. I when I read that, I had a really hard time processing that. And you can say all you want that you've bridged that gap, and maybe you have. I just think that is one of the more interesting stories is what does Philadelphia do this year? Because you can say that everyone's put it behind him and we have faith and we've got a new OC now and Sirianni and me are great and this and that. That is a level of disrespect and a lack of trust that is really hard to overcome. And if Philly starts out and kind of in a let's say a rough spot and it doesn't go well, I think one, Sirianni's coaching for his job, and I we saw it go south in a real, real fast hurry in about a month and a half last year. I'm not so certain that we can't have that again, which is saying something, because again, look at their roster. Find me on their roster where there's big glaring holes. That is a phenomenal roster.
Yeah, I don't think anyone should believe that they're great. I just don't think you just go into a new season and everything's forgotten. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But the Kellen Moore middleman, I think he can keep the peace. Again,
I hope so.
Again, Sirianni just needs to be aware enough to, like, dude, let Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts do their thing.
And you just,
it's your offense.
It really shouldn't. This is the amazing part. Like, it really shouldn't be that hard to keep the peace, because just on paper, think about it. You have two elite receivers in Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. You have an elite offensive line. You have two of the better tackles in the NFL. You have the best right tackle when he's healthy in Lane Johnson. You have what is a $250 million quarterback that could have won a Super Bowl. By the way, should have been the MVP of that Super Bowl.
Great tight end, too.
Yeah, very, very good tight end.
Added one of the best running backs in the NFL.
And Saquon Barkley. And then on the defensive side of things, dude, you got plenty of studs. Jalen Carter. You added Bryce Huff. Nolan Smith taking another step. You got Darius Slay on the back end. You brought back C.J. Gardner-Johnson, which was a nice addition. You had him, and then you lost him, and you brought him back. I mean, there is a lot, and I mean a lot, to like on this football team. And so it shouldn't be that hard to get everyone pulling in the same direction. And so to me, again, I just think I'd have to look at their schedule. But if Philly comes out and it's not a good start, look out, because I'm not convinced that everything is just hunky-dory.
No, he'll get fired. I mean, if he doesn't understand he can't keep operating that way, yeah, he'll get fired. But if he adjusts, which it sounds like he's tried to, they have a chance to be great.
Yeah, because I'm looking here. I want to see what they got.
Sometimes young coaches, you know, you learn on the fly.
Because I do love this roster. Regular season. Look, you start out Green Bay.
Loss.
That's tough. Green Bay is going to be good.
Loss.
And then you got Atlanta.
Win.
New Orleans.
Win.
Tampa, and then the bye. Okay. That's
3-1.
That's not a murderer's row. So I think that is a good thing that you get to outside of Green Bay. And Atlanta may have something for us this year. I'll be interested to see what their offense does. But again, from a personnel standpoint, I mean, look, you're better than all those. I just think Green Bay has a good young roster, but you are significantly better than what Atlanta, New Orleans, and Tampa are rolling out there. And then you get the bye week, and then you got the Browns, Giants, Bengals, Jacksonville. Look, that's a pretty favorable first 9 weeks of the season in Philadelphia. They should get off to a good start.
Deal is in on the Vancouver Ford text line. He says, Eagles sound loaded. I need to put some money on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. That's fantastic.
It is.
And entirely accurate.
Well, look, there's some good rosters in the NFL. And when you look at a roster, you just say, where are the holes? And no NFL roster, you know, is a sparkling 22. Especially when you're paying, you know, Philly's paying some dudes. They pay both their receivers. They pay Jalen Hurts. Some of the defensive guys, don't necessarily get paid. But there just isn't a lot of glaring weaknesses. And I'd say there's probably, let's go like 6 or 7 of those rosters in the NFL, and Philly has one of them.
All right, up next, we've got some Pac-2 buzz. It's 5:44 on the Fan. Drop Bordapalooza. What do you think about that?
You're speaking Japanese.
Got some Pac-2 scuddy here.
It's the Pac-2!
Well, from that same dude, I like to go check in on that.
Yeah, the West Virginia bro.
Yeah, that dude on Twitter who had the USC and UCLA thing to the Big Ten.
And he had some of the claps of the Pac-12. He's someone that's got some sort of connections. It's a burner account for someone connected.
He's talking about Oregon State and Washington State and their discussions, or he's actually talking about the Big 12.
Yeah.
And their discussions about what they may want to do with Oregon State and Washington State. The latest is he's saying that the Pac-2 is trying to negotiate playing 8 games against the Big 12 in 2025, and that is 8 total games.
Yeah.
So nothing, I mean, because they already have the Mountain West thing set up.
Yeah.
But the cost would be $2 million per game, but the Beavers and Cougs could shop the games to different carriers.
Yeah, they would sell it, and that's how they would make some dough, and then it would be kind of a test run. At least he's claiming that there's some hesitancy from the Big 12 schools to offer a full invite. So they kind of want to just kick this down the road a little bit, do a little schedule alliance, see how this goes, and then see what ESPN, because it sounds like, at least from him, that it's ESPN the one that's driving this, saying, hey, the Big 12, let's grab these teams and open up some more window slots to keep it away from streaming people, seemingly like Amazon, Apple. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, he throws a lot of stuff out there, and he certainly is right at times. But again, it's just a lot of stuff he's quote hearing. But I just like, if you're a Pac-2 fan, I think you're just happy that you're in discussions right now. And now other sources as well are saying that there are multiple discussions going on between the Pac-2 and other media entities. So at least you're in the discussion now. You're not a forgotten, you know, you're not like a little forgotten island out here in the upper left. People are talking about you.
Yeah. I guess he said all the no vote schools, and there's a bunch of them, if they got selected for any of the eight games against the Beavers or the Cougs, they would get home games because they don't want to travel.
Yeah, they don't want to travel up there. So that's
West Virginia, Cincinnati, Kansas, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, and UCF. Basically, half of the Big 12 doesn't want them.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Well, I mean, some of it is, again, you're slicing the pie more ways.
Yeah, but you'll make more money, though.
Again,
theoretically,
we don't know how much more money. And then the other one that I've seen is the fear of if you go a certain point, does it prevent you from growing any further after that? And I think some people are just waiting for the ACC to collapse and they'd rather expand that way.
But now the ACC, now we're reading the ACC wants to pilfer the Big 12.
Yeah. So.
Oh, for.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of any of this. It just sounds like we're not close to being done. How about that? That there's more...
I do knew that.
There's more... I do know that. There's more shenanigans still to come.
I do knew that.
But, you know, look, if ESPN wants something... I mean, we all know that ESPN and Fox are the big drivers in all this. So if that part of it is true and it's ESPN that's pushing for this, that's I think that's a good first step. And getting in with some Big 12 teams is better than the scheduling alliance with the Mountain West, even if it's only four teams, four games apiece. At least that's four games against, you know, power four competition.
Yeah, and then you got the Washington game and the Oregon game. Yeah, before you know it, you got a decent little skeddy.
Well, I mean, that's five. And then, you know, you piece together some teams with some good Mountain West schedules and you got something. But eventually, in 2 years, you got to find your way into a conference one way or another.
Another option would be the Beavers and Cougs as partial Big 12 members. He was talking about Oregon State baseball. Also, Gonzaga and UConn basketball.
Yeah, because that's one of those where, and it's long been rumored, and this sounds like it is going to happen, that the Big 12, when they do their next media right deal, is going to do two separate deals. They're going to do football and everything else on one side, and then they'll do a separate basketball deal. And they, well, they already are, but they're really trying to make their mark on they are going to be the best basketball conference in the country. And so the idea of going out and getting, adding UConn and adding Gonzaga to already when you have Arizona, you have Kansas, you have Baylor. I mean, dude, you add UConn and Gonzaga to that, you do have, without question, the best basketball conference in the country. And I think it's kind of interesting that they're going down the road of let's sell that individually.
Yeah, that is a pretty rad conference.
Yeah.
If you think about it, because they also have, you left out Houston.
Yeah.
They're elite right now.
Very
Iowa
good.
State's really good.
Yep.
Texas Tech has a good program. BYU, well, you said Kansas and Arizona.
Yep.
But then you add Gonzaga and UConn. Come on, well, dude.
Think about, you want to talk about the like perennial, you have the best team in the country in the last however many years in UConn. Gonzaga is a perennial top 10 team. Kansas is the definition of a blue blood. Arizona was the premier program out west for years and the last Pac-12 team to win a championship. And then you mentioned kind of the Baylor won a national title in the last few years. Like, I mean, it's just, that would be an absolute monster get if they could get UConn and Gonzaga to agree to that.
Yeah.
And of course, then, you know, the Tinkler, man.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
He's still there.
The Tinkler's still there, baby. I don't know if they have any players, but, you know, the
Tinkler. They can't afford to fire him, can they?
I don't think they can. No.
I mean, not that he deserves to be fired. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty rough go since going to the Elite Eight, hasn't it?
It has not been great, no. But that, you know, that was a hell of a run.
It was. He's a good coach. I think he's a good coach.
It's just tough. It's tough to tough to win there.
They're 24-40 since the. Oh no, they're not. Sorry, they're
oh, what? Yep.
They're 27-68 since that run. And by the way, that team that made the Elite Eight was only 20-13.
Oh well,
they were a 12 seed.
Hey, you got hot at the right time.
They've been to the tournament twice since 1990.
Yeah, yeah. It's not. It hasn't been a great run.
God.
No. Washington State had it going there for a little bit under Bennett. They were all right. Not necessarily a... Can we just call a spade a spade? Look, the Northwest isn't necessarily a hotbed of basketball.
I mean, Seattle's pretty good.
Yeah.
Seattle area.
I don't know what
the Huskies
expect.
Haven't done squat either.
No. I just mean from, like, producing high school basketball
talent.
They
have kids.
Yeah, they got kids. But, look, you want to talk about disappointing. Look at how many people Washington, like, supposedly gets from, like, recruits, and they don't do squat with it.
They've been a mess.
You know, at least Oregon's had success. Washington had that run with like B. Roy where they were okay, but Washington gets big time recruits and puts kids in the NBA and they suck.
Dana will get you there.
God dang, what do you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Dana.
Midwest girl dad.
The brush.
Someone said just schedule them against all the former Pac-12 schools. There you go. Play the four against the Big 12 teams and then schedule four against the former Pac-12 teams and away you go.
That'd be funny.
Just recreate it. It is silly that the Pac-12 had to die, but you know, I don't blame people for getting out while the getting was good.
It's their own fault.
Well, everyone else would have done it too. So this sucks the way it had to go down.
I'm very confident.
Yeah. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was what, Kliavkov?
You and
right?
Georgie.
Well, you weren't. You weren't Georgie. Here.
Yeah.
I was interviewing George Kliavkov.
So I think you both were here, right?
I don't think Sue was here.
No, I was gone. I remember coming back and hearing that. I think I was on vacation. Uh-huh. I think I might have been in Iceland or something.
I'm very confident.
Yeah. I was drunk overseas somewhere.
Yeah.
And George.
I'm very confident. What do you think that guy's doing now?
Probably collecting $2 million to not do anything.
Didn't we read that he got a new gig already?
Really?
Did he?
I thought. I'll dig into it.
Do you think he raw dogs flights?
Jeez. I love the term raw dogging. What? I use it all the time. But raw dogging flights, I don't know why that one always gets me.
Yeah, I'm only just now learning of this because, well, I'm old and not hip with the kids.
Yeah.
But there is a new travel trend.
Yeah.
And it is called raw dogging.
And it's just the dumbest thing
ever. I don't really get it. I'm going to need some explanation.
It's like some sort of a flex to prove that you don't need a screen to get through a flight or something.
Yeah, I guess. We'll get to it.
But it's a weird flex.
Yeah, it'll kick off the club next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.